that has been told many, many times in Sunday school, in Bible studies, read billions of times throughout the years through the Bible, that has such truth to it, but oftentimes we forget the simplicity of the word. Sometimes we want to become very complex with the word and everything that we do. But this story is very simple, found in Numbers chapter 13, verses 30 through 33, entitled, "What Do You See?" Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the peoples whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." In Numbers 13 and 20, in just a segment of that one part of the scripture, the Bible declares, "Be of good courage." In other words, be brave. In other words, don't forget who God is in your life. Don't forget the promises of God. Don't forget that He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's a shield about us. He's a bulwark that never fails. The angel of the Lord encampeth around us and delivers us out of all our troubles. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. No weapon formed against you shall ever prosper. The words spoken against you shall be returned to those that have spoken against you, and you shall inherit that which God has said of the righteous. So those are several scriptures there that I just spoke that are promises of God. I like what Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me." We have to understand in the book of Philippians, it also says that we need to press on towards the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We need to press forward. I have a screensaver on my computer, actually it's with me, that says, "Move forward in faith." Continue to move forward. Don't move backwards. Move forward. You see, there were tribes of the promised land in Canaan that were very large. In Numbers 13, 28 and 29. "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan." In other words, everyone in that land, the promised land now, that God promised it would be theirs, said, "Just go there and I'm going to go with you. It's going to be yours." They've been traveling for around 2 years now, and they're about to go into this opportunity that God has given them, proven to them when He delivered them out of the corralling of Egypt, the taskmaster's whip, the slavery that they went through for 400 years, and they were finally delivered. They had now this beautiful promise that it belonged to them. There's a lot of people now. We're talking an average of 2 million people. And that's a lot of folks, if you understand. That is a whole lot of folks. If you take Oakland and San Francisco together, you almost have 2 million people. Okay, so that's how many people were there. And, you know, you had just a few leaders. Some elders were over 1,000, over hundreds, and over 50s. You know, you have these people there. They were there. You had Moses leading them. Now Joshua has been laid hands on by Moses. It's been transferred into him, the wisdom to go forward. God said, choose Joshua. This is who I want you to choose. And Moses did that. And so we're coming to this place now that we are going to go in. And what they saw, now listen, you have to understand this. What they saw was real. It wasn't magnified. They saw giants. They saw strong armies. I get a kick out of the scripture because if you read the whole thing in Numbers, they were there for 40 days and no one noticed them. They were spying out the land, finding out, should we go? And I always get this great opportunity to say this, that even though God said, take it, they wanted to go in and see if they could. Sometimes I think we act like that with God. God says, this is what I want you to have, and we go to look to make sure we should. Right. You know, they send in this kind of group that spies it out and say, you better go in there and see if this is really what God means. So they do see all this. There are definitely things that are going on. And so they come back, and out of the 12 tribes of Israel, 10 vote, no way are we going in there. You all know the story. We're not going in. And I've just shared with you the testimony of why. They were huge. We're like grasshoppers. We're not going in there. Do you understand when they say like we're grasshoppers that they're going to take their foot and stomp on us? And that's it. We're going to be squished like a grasshopper if we go in there. We got great soldiers. We got great, the Benjamites were great soldiers. We have all these different types of soldiers. We have high priests. We have all this going for us. We have God's promise, but we're not doing it. Because what we saw was too much for us. And then only two voted to go in. You see, the vote 10, fear of the world was the foundation of their rebellion. They were afraid of what the world could do to them, that known world at that time. Now, you and I are living in a different world, obviously, but we face these giants in our life. We face them more than we want to admit. They show up when they're not invited. They're just there. Fear sometimes paralyzes a person that's born again, spirit-filled. I mean, a prayer warrior, someone that just walks with God and is known for it. But fear all of a sudden just grips them. The what if this happens scenario. I don't think I can conquer this. But the two voted yes, and the confidence in a faithful covenant God was their only hopeful recourse. Let's have faith in God. We're more than able to take this. God promises if He said we receive it, then it's ours. How many believe today? And it's a rhetorical question. You don't have to shout out, I am, or I do, or I will, and yes, I believe. You don't have to do all that. If you want, go ahead. I'm going to accept that. But the point of it is that how many believe that when God promised you something, He already has it for you? He's just waiting for you to walk into it. It's yours. But there are times of difficulty that comes. And, you know, I really found this really interesting before I really preached today is Caleb was from the tribe of Judah, the tribe of praise. And Joshua was from the tribe of Ephraim. Be fruitful. So what God is saying, when we praise, we're going to be fruitful. He's saying, I'm sending in the two that said this, have these names, meaning praise God for what's going to happen. And when we go in there, we're going to be fruitful. We're going to grow. It's our land. It's where we are going to possess it. And the Lord has promised this. You see, when we begin to move into what God has promised, we often see the difficulties and the impossibilities instead of the promise. Right. It is difficult, this world we live in today. Life is difficult. I hear every day it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. It's going to get bigger. The giant's going to come larger. But let me tell you something. Like David, okay, he went up against Goliath. If you have a Goliath against you, that means you have a David in you. You see, and you have to understand that this world is kind of a tough time now. But God is bigger than all these giants. He's bigger than all these difficulties. He's bigger than all these impossibilities. These giants to our eyes, and they fill our heart with fear and doubt. Right. Spiritual advancement requires faith, and unbelief will never see beyond the difficulties. If you're going to move forward in the kingdom of God, if you're going to do something that God has called you to do, if you're going to go into where God has called you to go, you have to look beyond the difficulties. You got to look above the giant. You've got to understand that God is sending you somewhere. God is calling you to do something. God has promised you something. And you know it's God. You've confirmed it in your prayer life. You may even have a spiritual mentor or a spiritual mother or a spiritual father that prayed with you and confirmed it. You have found confirmation in the Word. I mean, you're going in. You have tried the Spirit. This is it. But as soon as you start walking towards it, guess what you run into? A giant. A difficulty. Your plans weren't exactly what you thought would happen. And all of a sudden we stop and we go, oh my gosh, this is insurmountable. The obstacles before us, they're because we see with our eyes and not with our hope. Not with the faith. You see, faith has eyes. When we see from our carnal self and our life that believes in, well, you know, we're only so big and we're only so strong and I don't really know if I can do this. We need to begin at that point to confess the power of God over all that is before us. You see, unbelief looks at obstacles. Faith looks at God. We do. We have to do that. It's part of who we are. Is it hard? Yes, it's hard. Is it a wrestling match? Yes, it's a wrestling match. But let me tell you something. You win the wrestling match when you look at God. You have the faith, you have the strength, and you have the ability to do that. It's like, again, back to David and Goliath. He called David a dog. This guy was big. I mean, huge. He would have been in the WWF for sure. You know, he was huge. Muscular and armor and a spear that was 9 feet long and a shield that was like way bigger than David. Just the shield itself. And he mocked David and he called him a dog. And what David did was listen to it all. Listen to every bit of it. But he answered him and said, you know what? You can call me what you want. You can make fun of my father, my brothers. You can make fun of these armies. You can make fun of me. I know I'm small. I know I'm a shepherd boy. I have nothing in my hands at this point to fight against you. But I'm brave enough to come out here and tell you something. Now listen to what he told him. He said, you are not offending us. You're not offending me individually. But you have offended the God of all Israel, all the armies of Israel. You have offended him. And he has sent me out here to meet with you and to fight you. And he took that little stone and he took the leather piece to throw that stone at him and he killed him. Because he had enough faith to face a giant. In our own life spiritually, we have to have that faith to face a giant. We have to stop confessing negative words that will deter you from your promise. Believe in what God has spoken and move forward in faith. You see, negativity consistently drains you. Doubt consistently drains you. Now, I mean, there are people that are realists and they're this, they're, well, this is how it really is. Well, you know what? That's true. What is true, they did see giants. They saw armies. They felt that we're not going to be able to go in there. We're not people of war. Even though Caleb was. And Caleb went in. And they did take that land. But I love what Caleb did. It was so beautiful. He went in there and he found a place that he liked. And it was promised that that would be his land, his mountain. 45 years later, when he's 85 years old, when he has an opportunity to say, now is the time, he says, I am as strong as I was when I was 40. I'm 85 years old now. It's been a battle. We have fought, but we have won. Give me my mountain. In other words, what God has promised, I want it. It's been a battle. It's been tough. It's been an uphill climb. We've had to fight. We've had to go through things. But we consistently moved forward. Now, this is after 40 years of traveling around the desert. You see, for the 40 days they were in the promised land, those folks that went in from the tribes, the 12, 40 days they were there. God said, because of lack of faith, they're going to go around the desert now for 40 years. Now, they've already gone 2 years, so it's actually 38 years. But anyhow, they went ahead and they did this. And anybody that was above 20 had to pass away. And everybody that was below 20 grew up and they moved into the promised land when they crossed the River Jordan. Now, you would think that would be enough. You think that would be enough. But when they crossed the River Jordan, except for the tribe and a half that wouldn't go because they wanted to stay there and fight. But some of them went. They sent soldiers anyhow with them. The first thing they came in sight was the Jericho, this walled-in city where the walls were too thick to break through and too high to crawl over. And God asked them to do something that most people would have thought, are you kidding me? March around Jericho 7 times. Have the choir go first, have the priests go next, and have the people go around and march around the city. Do it 7 times, 7 times around there. Each day do it 1 time. On the 7th day, they had to march around 7 times, but then they were going to shout. Now, come on, I don't know about you, but I just want to let you know, my mind sometimes goes, man, that's embarrassing. 7 times, and then have to go around it 7 times on the 7th day, and then at the end, wait for Joshua to shout, and then everybody else shout, and the horns blow, and everything else, and you're thinking, what is going to happen here? What if nothing happens? This is weird. I mean, to me, I would have thought, okay, we're here. We got through this. We're here now, but now we got to face that. And what are we going to do? What happens if nothing happens? They're going to laugh at us. They were laughing at us from the wall all the way. Look at these Israelites. What are they doing? But amazingly, by the faith and obedience they had, Jericho's walls were pressed down to the ground, and they entered in and got the plunder and moved forward from that. Then they had to have to start fighting the kings of the land. And they fought kings, and when they weren't supposed to fight them, they went up there with 6,000 men, and they went up to fight these kings, and they came running back because God told them don't go, and they went. You see, you shouldn't go anywhere where God told you not to go. That's been a problem with a lot of people. They go where God told them not to go, and they're fighting things, and they don't have the strength or the ability to overcome. You see, when we're going through something in our life, when we're facing things in our life, we have to understand something. Jesus said, if you can believe, in Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him who believes. Or to who believes in what God says. Him or her. All things are possible. I think it's really beautiful is what they said in Matthew 19 and 26 when Jesus was talking about the wealthy and the rich and they wouldn't follow. And the young man said, you know, I have everything. What should I do to come into the kingdom of God? And he said, go and sell all that you have and follow me. And he walked away sad. And if you study it out, that was Mark, okay, who later followed Paul in throughout Asia. That was what was going on there. But all of a sudden he walked away and they asked the question, who then can be saved? Who can be saved if it's easier for, you know, a large animal to get through the eye of a needle than it is to see the wealthy get saved? Jesus was not saying the wealthy couldn't enter into the kingdom. He was saying what they were looking at is their own strength, their own abilities, what they have prospered by, and they cannot use that to get into the kingdom of God. And Jesus answered their question very clearly. Again, he said this, all things are possible with God. So anything in our life, whoever you are, no matter what walk of life you're in, no matter what your culture is, no matter what your history may be, and no matter if you just gave your heart to the Lord today or if you've been saved for 50, 60 years, whatever it is, all things are possible with God. You have to make sure you're on God's team to get through what God says to do. Amen. You can't be like the 10 that see everything and say, we're not going. We're done. This is impossible. We cannot beat these giants. We cannot take down these kings. We can't take down their armies. They are so strong. You remember when Moses was coming out of Egypt, the army that defeated them or tried to defeat them came on the rearward of all those people. It was the Amalekites, and they were crazy going after them and beating up the Israelites like that. And Moses had to go to the top of the hill, and what did he do? He praised God. He raised his hand and began to worship the Lord. And when he worshiped God, the Israelites would win. And when his hands got tired, what happened? He could not win. They were beating the Israelites. But so Hur and Aaron went up there and lifted up his arms and held his arms up, showing that if we would show in unity together, when God calls us to do something, we need to be a team and lift each other's arms up in praise and worship. And they defeated the Amalekites. Now they see them again in their land and they say, no. But God gave Joshua this promise when he went through, when they crossed over the River Jordan after 38 years going around. Let's remember something here. At the Red Sea, they got there. They were entrapped. Again, you heard the story. You know this story. Very, very simple story. Very real story. You can probably even quote it if you've heard it as many times as I have. Is literally, he went to God and pray and literally in prayer and literally said to the Lord, I don't know what's going on here. I've got 2.5 million people and they're yelling at me. Now, I don't know about you. If I had 2.5 million people yelling at me, I would be freaking out. I mean, you couldn't say be quiet loud enough. You couldn't Twitter fast enough. You couldn't go ahead and text fast enough to tell everybody to be quiet. All the way through, they have all this going on. Egypt's coming, walled in on the other side, a sea so deep that they're going to drown in. Moses go to prayer, and less what he says to God says to him, why are you praying to me? I've already brought you to a place where don't you understand I'm going to deliver you? And Moses was probably going, what? What am I going to do with this? He's kind of rebuking me that I went to him in prayer. God said, go and stand on the rock out there, the highest peak you can get, overlooking that sea, and raise up your staff and see what happens. God is saying to people today, raise up the name of Jesus Christ in your walk and in the difficulties and the circumstances that are insurmountable, and see what happens when you raise up the name of Jesus Christ. When he brings deliverance into your life, when he heals your heart, when he heals your body, when he brings something into your household, when he begins to prosper you, when that abundant life starts to show up in your life, when the devil stops killing and stops destroying and stops stealing from you, and you start to realize that Jesus Christ came to give you a life and that life more abundant, you begin to praise God and understand God, and deliverance comes into your home. Deliverance from alcohol, deliverance from drugs, deliverance from pornography, deliverance from deep sin, deliverance from the things that have capitalized and captured your family. You begin to see deliverance, and Jesus Christ's name is lifted on high. Somebody say amen this morning. I'm telling you the truth, that there is a King of Kings and a Lord of Glory that is much larger than your problem, much larger than my problem. You know, as a pastor, I have problems. I have attacks of the enemy. I have things come at me that I didn't see coming, and they're there. The only thing I can do, and I'm going to be honest with you, the first thing I do is freak out. You know, everybody thinks that because I'm a man of prayer and a man of faith, that when something happens in my life, I just go, ha! Ask my wife what I do. I freak out. I start thinking of all these numbers I can call. I start thinking of all this way I can get around this. I try to figure out if I should call somebody or call a lawyer or call the police or call somebody, call my spiritual father. Hey, tell me what I should do. I don't know what to do. I freak out. And then all of a sudden, I am reminded that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Holy Spirit raises up a standard. And that the angel of the Lord does encamp around me and delivers me from all my problems. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all. I remember the scripture and I start to quote the scripture and I start to believe and I start to pray and fear scoots. Right. It gets out of there. It's gone. Yep. And I know that I can beat this insurmountable thing by God's help, not on my own. I can get through the problem by God's help, not on my own. Right. He's there for us. He's always there. So they move forward. They got across the Red Sea. Joshua enters in, as I mentioned before, he enters in and beats down this whole city and begins to take the land. And if you study it out through all there, you find the greatness of God's power as Israel took the promised land, which they should have taken 38 years earlier. But they allowed all the insurmountable things. I want to ask you a question, and I'm going to be closing here in a moment. I want to ask you a question. How many times have you been walking around the desert knowing that God's going to help you, but you keep walking around the desert? You keep letting that giant bother you. It could be a social issue. It could be a marital issue. It could be a financial issue. It could be an employment issue. It could be a health issue. But something is just, you wake up with it, you go to sleep with it, and you, when you watch TV, you think about it. Right. And you just want to have someone just get on Facebook with you and help you. Well, not everybody on Facebook's going to help you. Not everybody on Twitter is going to help you. Not everybody on Tumblr is going to help you. Not everybody around all the social media, Snapchat or anything else, is going to help you. The only one that can help you is God. The only one that'll bring you through is God. But you have to obey and you have to believe and you have to have wisdom in your reaction and understand that God can deliver us out of all our afflictions, all our difficulties, and we can move forward in faith. I want to remind what Paul said in 2 Timothy 1 and 12, if I could. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what that which I have committed to him until that day. I have given my heart to God. He's able to take care of it. I have surrendered everything I have to God. He's able to take care of it. I'm going to move forward in it. And I'm going to move in it. Is that an instantaneous cure that all of a sudden everything's going to be all right? Man, I'm telling you, I wish it was. I wish I could say to you today that once you pray that prayer and once you commit that to your life, you start walking in this rose garden. Everything is just beautiful. Everything is beautiful. But life is life. You have to face these things, but you cannot let these things overtake you. You have to go through these things with the help of God. God has promised it's going to be fulfilled in your life. Struggles come. I wish I could tell you that obstacles are no more in my life, but they're there. Decisions have to be made, but you still have to embrace the fact that God is bringing you through. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He's going to bring you through the promise that he's actually said he was going to do. I mean, it's amazing to me that God, when he says he heals all our diseases, he does. When he delivers us out of all our iniquities, he does. When you get saved, you don't get half saved, you get saved. You're forgiven of all your sin. You're able to move forward in the kingdom of God. When God fills you with the Holy Spirit, he fills you. He doesn't give you a little drop. He fills you to the overflow. And when you're baptized in fire, you just explode in the power of the Holy Ghost and things happen in your life. You know, when God calls you into the mission field, believe me, you're going to run into struggles when you go into the mission field. You're going to run into things that, like, you're going to go, how do I do this? What do I do? How do I do? When I was in Romania preaching the gospel over there and giving counsel to people that were going through divorce over there, a lot of people divorcing right after they came out of communism. They didn't know how to handle life. There was divorce happening. The men were crying out. The women were crying out. My men aren't being men. What was going on? It was just really incredible. When I was over there, I saw something that I wish I would have had here in America, and that is the faith that they had. Amen. They had bread cost $1 a loaf in American money. And they made $30 a month in American money. so they can afford a loaf of bread every day. They build a church. In America, we do all this raising of funds. We do all this stuff, but we want to make sure we take out bank loans we'll never repay, or we hope we can repay. We get high interest. It's all there. What they did is they were in a small little building, smaller than this. They took down brick by brick and took it to the new cathedral right across the parking lot, and they were using the same brick to build on to that building. I stood up on the top of that building, and I'm known by faith, but I stood up there and I wept before God and asked God to forgive me because I'm not a great man of faith. These people had faith. I'm looking down at their cathedral. There's no roof on it. They have the place for their chairs already. It's a beautiful cathedral. And I'm crying like a baby asking God to forgive me. Give me a little of what they had. It was marvelous. It was powerful to see that. And it was beautiful. And then, of course, their churches are not like American churches have become. Their churches are this. When they asked me to preach that night, they invited the whole city. The place was packed. You had Baptists, you had Catholics, you had Methodists, you had every personality there that was charismatic that came into the church. They had guitar players, they had singers. They started at 7 o'clock, and by the time I got the pulpit, it was 11:30. So I did the American thing. Thank you for coming tonight. I'm honored to be standing in this pulpit. You have heard great music. You've heard great testimonies. We have been blessed by so many. I don't want to keep you. I know you're tired. Thank you for being here. God bless you and have a beautiful night. So I walked out of the pulpit and I walked down there, and the pastor's wife, the senior pastor's wife, comes up to me. I said, "How you doing?" She goes, "I'm mad with you." Well, first of all, I didn't get that mad at first. I'm mad with you. So I wasn't mad, so I wasn't really mad. So how could I be with you if you're mad? And what she was really saying is, "I am mad at you." And I asked why. And she said, "They didn't come to hear these guitar players. They didn't come to hear the testimonies. They came to hear you preach. And that's why they were here. And you did not preach." I was used to America. Hurry up. We got things to do. But let me tell you something. I can go on story after story. But the point of it is that we have to understand that when we commit our life to the Lord, He has something to do. Psalm 121, as you know, is my favorite of all psalms. "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help?" is a question. And it's answered, "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." That's a wow scripture to me. I love that. Go on to Psalm 91. "No evil shall befall you, and no plague shall come near your dwelling. The 1,000 at your left hand will fall, and 10,000 at your right." He'll always be there for you. He'll always protect you. And listen to this closing psalm, please. "When mountains are in the way, and obstacles are before us, yes, they are wide, deep, big, and they kind of get over when we kind of think about how we're going to do this. But look with the eyes of faith. Walk in hope. And believe in what the Lord has promised you. And He will take you through." Psalm 41:10. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand." How much more do we need? We don't need anything more than just that promise to get through it. To get through that. to get through what you're going through today. So I'm going to ask you something right now.